message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
If you've ever tried to study the Bible, you know that it's a book filled with prophecy. And the goal of prophecy is stated very clearly by the prophet Daniel in Daniel 2:44 when he says that the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Frankly, the intention of Almighty God, the issue of the authority of a throne over this universe is the thing that has captured and held the attention of God all through created history. God Almighty intends for His throne to rule over the heavens and over the earth. And the goal of what the Bible calls prophecy, what God has been proclaiming and promising to do, has to do with the God of heaven establishing His kingdom in this earth. The God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. We call it the kingdom of God because God sets it up. We call it the kingdom of heaven because that's where it comes from. It's the rule of heaven. It's, as Moses said, it's as the days of heaven on earth. But you know, there's a great misunderstanding, it seems, about the exact nature of that kingdom. It's not so hard to read the scripture and understand what the scriptures say about the kingdom, but the nature of the kingdom that God is going to set up is greatly, in fact, it's hotly debated today. It's a very discussed and debated issue among Christendom and churchmen. But when you come to the Word of God, it isn't quite that hard to understand. In Matthew chapter 3, you see how important the subject is. For we read that in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In chapter number 4, verse number 17, we're told from that time Jesus began to say, preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And verse 23 of Matthew 4 says, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. In other words, what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing in His earthly ministry, what John the Baptist preached about and as he prepared the nation of Israel to receive her Messiah, and as Israel's Messiah showed up, the theme of their message was that the kingdom of heaven, this kingdom that had been promised back here in time past, the prophets had looked out into the future out there, and what that kingdom that they promised to come out here, that they had been promising, that's the theme of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The kingdom that the prophets promised that is being looked for out here, the tribulation and the wrath of God that's going to come upon the world prior to the Messiah's return out here, all of that is what is the focus of the ministry back here, and Israel's being redeemed through that wrath and into that kingdom. That kingdom is the subject of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't understand the nature of that kingdom, it's going to be very difficult to understand what was going on during our Lord's ministry. Come with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 5. These 12, talking about the 12 apostles, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles. In any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's the reason we keep telling you that the earthly ministry of Christ focused on the nation Israel. He said, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, just go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Our Lord's earthly ministry focused on that kingdom God promised to the nation Israel. That's the focus and the flow, that's the issue of it. Whether it's John the Baptist, whether it was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, whether it was the 12 apostles that he trained, all of the ministry of John, of the Lord, of the 12, all focused on that kingdom. Everything they did in their ministry had to do with that coming kingdom. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 14. Our Lord, when He gave His commission, when He sent the 12 apostles out, He made it very clear they were to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 24, verse 14, he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall come the end." Jesus Christ is going to die at Calvary. He tells them about it. He's going to be resurrected. He spent 40 days with them. Then he ascends into heaven. The Holy Spirit comes back on the apostles, and they are to go out there. And as they go out, their ministry in the early Acts period is for the purpose of preaching that kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, you and I need to understand the nature of that kingdom. We need to understand what their ministry was about. Come with me to Acts chapter number 1. There's no doubt about what they're preaching about. They're preaching about a kingdom that's coming. Acts chapter number 1. They're promising a kingdom that's coming. They're looking for a kingdom that's coming. The prophets back here in the Old Testament, they looked out across time and they saw about the Lord Jesus Christ being born of a virgin. They saw about him choosing out his disciples and the apostles. They saw about his crucifixion at Calvary. They saw about his resurrection. They saw his ascension into heaven. They prophesied about the coming of the Holy Spirit in here. They prophesied about the witness going out to the nation Israel. They prophesied about the wrath of God coming, about the Antichrist in here, about the second advent of Jesus Christ back to the earth to destroy the Antichrist and to judge the world and to set up his kingdom. Those prophets back there saw all of those things, prophesied about them, and the ministry in here says those things that the prophets have been telling us about are coming to pass, and that kingdom is on the way. In Acts chapter number 1, you're right here. Christ is almost ready to ascend into heaven, and he gathers his apostles together. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, we're told that he says to us, he's with his apostles. And it says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, of the apostles, 40 days, and speaking to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Verse 6 says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" I want you to understand something. In their ministry, that kingdom was the issue. That kingdom was what they looked for. And just as he's about to go into heaven, they say, "Lord, are you going to restore again that kingdom to Israel? Are you fixing to do that? You've been telling us the time's at hand. Is it time now to do it?" You see, that kingdom was the whole issue. Now the question, the reason there's a problem in understanding the nature of that kingdom is that kingdom isn't here today. Now, I know people say, "Well, no, you misunderstand, preacher. It's a spiritual kingdom, and that's the problem. I mean, the kingdom didn't come. John promised it. Christ promised it. The 12 promised it. He sends them out to proclaim it. And it doesn't come." Now, does that mean they misunderstood the kind of a kingdom it was? That's what people say. That's the general answer. The general answer, is that the kingdom was not literal. It wasn't physical. It wasn't visible. It wasn't going to be a Davidic kingdom with Jerusalem at the center extending over all the earth through the physical nation of Israel. But rather, it was going to be a spiritual kingdom. A kingdom that rules in the hearts of men, and that where the Spirit of God rules in the hearts of men, and it wasn't a literal, physical, visible, earthly Davidic kingdom. But that these people back here misunderstood the nature of the kingdom, and that it wasn't to be literal and physical and visible and earthly and control the government, purify the government, and do away with war and bloodshed and sorrow and sickness and famine and so forth. It was just really to be a spiritual rule in the hearts of men. And there are actually people, believe it or not, that will tell you that the kingdom is here right now. I mean, it's like the old gal down south heard a fellow preach one time, and he's talking about how God was bringing in the kingdom today and how Satan was bound in the bottomless pit, today. And Jesus comes back over here and says he's going to bind Satan with a chain in the bottomless pit. And she went out the door. She told that young seminary man, she said, preacher said, if Satan's bound in the bottomless pit with a chain, he sure doesn't have a long chain. He sure does have a long chain. He sure does. He sure works today. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says over there, he's going to bind him in the bottomless pit that he might deceive the nations no more. You know what my Bible says the God of this world is today? The God of this, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world blinds the minds of them that believe not. Listen, folks, Satan's in the deceiving business today. He's in the blinding business today. He's not chained with a bottle in the bottomless pit over here. He's out there deceiving men and women today, inflicting spiritual blindness. You say, but I thought that all that was just symbolic over there. Symbolic, my eye. That's real. You see, the problem, the nature of the kingdom is real clear in the Bible. There's no problem involved. To view the kingdom that the Bible promises as simply some spiritual kingdom and some spiritual rule, practically just the equivalent of what God's doing today, is scarcely worthy of the facts of the Word of God. And it certainly doesn't fit the plain predictions and descriptions of that kingdom made. The reason that kingdom didn't come has nothing to do with these people misunderstanding the nature of the kingdom. The reason the kingdom didn't come is that God interrupted the prophetic program with the mystery program. God interrupted what He had been prophesying about, what He had told people He was going to do, what He'd made known since the foundation of the world, this prophetic program over here. He interrupted prophecy with the mystery. God has interrupted what He was doing there and is doing something else for a while. You know what James says in Acts 15 about that? When the Apostle Paul went to the Jerusalem church in Acts 15 and communicated to them that change in the program that Jesus Christ had committed to Paul over here, and through Paul had interrupted the prophetic program and bring in the dispensation of the mystery in here. You know what James, when he stood up in front of the Jerusalem church and he says, you know what's going on, guys? He says, Peter has declared to us how God did visit the Gentiles to call out a people for His name. James says, you know what God's doing? He's left home, Israel, and He's gone off on a visit to visit the Gentiles. But He's going to come back home one day. That's a fantastic description that James gives in Acts 15. You know what James says is going on today? He said God has left His people Israel. He's left home and He's gone off on... He doesn't say He permanently moved and changed addresses. He just says He's on a visit. He's gone off on a temporary visit to call out a people from the Gentiles for a name. Israel was established to be the agency through whom God's name was made great in the earth. But God has temporarily left home and He's gone out to call out a people for His name, call out of the Gentiles a people for His name, establish a new agency from among the Gentiles, and when the visit is over, He'll go back and finish the program. The reason that the literal, physical, visible, earthly Davidic kingdom that's to be centered in Jerusalem didn't appear and hasn't materialized as of yet is not that it wasn't real and it isn't what the prophets said would come and it isn't what Christ promised and it isn't what the 12 expected, or that somehow they were wrong about it. I mean, if they were wrong back here, why didn't John and Jesus tell them they were wrong? Why didn't they explain to them that it isn't going to be? They didn't do that. You know what they said? They said, the meek shall inherit the earth. You know what Jesus said? He said, swear not by Jerusalem, by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. He said, the kingdom, my kingdom's going to be in the earth, and you're going to reign with me on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Reign in the earth. You see, that kind of a thing is clear. And our Lord understood it that way. So these people weren't mistaken. The reason that the kingdom, the literal, physical, visible kingdom, didn't come is God set that program aside. He's interrupted it. And it's through the fall of Israel that salvation today goes to the Gentiles. And God today is forming a spiritual body of believers called the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, is a spiritual body of believers, a spiritual unit of believers, where Jew and Gentile are placed together in one body on an absolute equal basis through simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, simply through faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ poured out around Calvary for the free and total pardon and forgiveness and payment for your sins. When you by faith trust Him, God Almighty puts you in that spiritual body of believers. And there aren't any national distinctions or social distinctions or religious distinctions in the body of Christ. There's one in Christ. And God Almighty is forming that agency that He's going to use. One day He's going to come, take the body of Christ out, take us into the heavenly places, and just like the nation Israel is going to restore His authority in the earth in a literal, physical, visible, earthly Davidic kingdom that fulfills prophecy, so God is forming an agency today, the church, the body of Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, that will be used by Him to restore His authority in the heavenly places and the government in the spirit world up there. That's why the kingdom today is not a literal, it's a spiritual kingdom, not a literal, physical, visible kingdom. And that's why Israel's kingdom is literal, physical, visible, earthly, and Davidic. Come with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 72 in one hand, and Daniel chapter number 7. Psalm 72 in one hand, and Daniel 7. Daniel chapter 7. Verse number 13, we read about the Son of Man. Now, Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry over and over and over again is called the Son of Man. That's a title that's given to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a messianic title, a title given to the Lord Jesus as Israel's Messiah. Notice what it refers to. Daniel 7, verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him. And there was given to Him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him. And His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom that shall not be destroyed. You see that? The Son of Man, it's as the Son of Man that the Messiah receives authority from the Ancient of Days, God the Father, to administer the kingdom. The title Son of Man that Christ carries while He's on the earth here in His earthly ministry to the nation Israel, that title is a title that describes Him coming and taking dominion in the earth over all the nations of the earth and establishing His kingdom. You see, this is an earthly kingdom. One that extends over all the earth. One that has the city of Jerusalem as its center. Matthew chapter 5, verse 35, the Lord Jesus Christ declares in the Sermon on the Mount that Jerusalem is the city of the great King. It's the center, the political center of His kingdom. Psalm chapter 72, Solomon, the son of David, talks about the coming of the Lord over here and His return and His establishing of Israel's kingdom. And he says, Psalm chapter 72, verse 11, yea, all kings shall fall down before Him. All nations shall serve Him. He says, in that day, all the nations of the earth. Can you name one nation that serves Him today? I mean, come on, let's be honest about it. If the kingdom's here today, all the nations are supposed to serve Him. Can you name one that does? You know, at Christmas time, we sing that song. It says, come, desire of nations, come. And everybody says, oh, the Messiah is the desire of nations. You better go back and read that verse back there in the prophets. Back there in the prophets, when it talks about the desire of all nations coming, it isn't talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about money. Money. Gold. That's what it's talking about. Go read it. Go get you a concordance. Look the verse up. And find out what the Bible says. Don't get your doctrine out of hymns that don't teach the truth. Don't just let somebody, you know, at Christmas time get all teary-eyed and say, well, we all just desire Jesus. No, no, no. You know the nations. There, can you name a nation on the face of the earth today that serves Him? You say, well, America. I mean, come on now. Let's don't talk like little Girl Scouts. America? Serving Him? You gotta be kidding. I mean, let's go on with something serious here. Can you name one that serves Him? No, you can't, because none of them do. Kingdom can't be here. When the kingdom's here, they're all going to serve Him. You say, well, it just don't mean... Yeah, that's the problem, see? The Bible either means what it says or it doesn't mean what it says. And if you'll let the Bible mean what it says, and you'll let the verses on the page in a Bible, get a King James Bible and let the words on the page in that book make a difference in your life, it'll make a difference. He said, it kind of sounds strange to me. Yeah, I know. There's a lot of difference between what the Bible says and what is said out there in religion. And there might be a lot of difference from what you hear taught on this program and what you always thought. There certainly is a difference between what the Word of God says and what I was always taught. But you know, when you make the book the authority and just go by it, it clears up an awful lot of things. Come with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 2. I just want you to see what the prophets have to say about this kingdom. Isaiah chapter 2. And I wish we had 2 hours to go through 100 verses here. We don't, so we'll just pick a few of them. But my friend, the kingdom that was predicted to be brought in by Israel's Messiah is clearly identified in this Bible as a literal, physical, visible, earthly Davidic kingdom centered in Jerusalem, extending over all the nations of the earth. And the only reason people don't recognize that, and the only reason the religious systems deny that, is they don't understand God isn't doing that today. He's interrupted it with this. But if you're going to understand what went on in our Lord's earthly ministry, you've got to understand He's telling people about that, not this. Isaiah chapter 2. The word of Isaiah, the son of Amos, concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It should come to pass in the last days. That'll be right over there. And that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Now, you know that. Have you ever stood at the church door today and had everybody in town try to get in? You say, well, I went to a meeting and they filled up a big coliseum. Listen, they could have put a football game next door, or WrestleMania right next door, and outshot you 15 times, and you know it. All nations. That's the kingdom, brother. That's not what's going on today. Many people should go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. They're going to go to Jerusalem and worship in Jacob's temple. And he shall teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his ways. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of God of the Lord from Jerusalem. The administrative center of that kingdom is going to be Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people. You know what there's going to be? There's going to be the government's going to be purified. The justice is going to be the order of the day. It's called a kingdom of right. He's going to rule and reign in righteousness. That's going to be some kingdom. Some kingdom. Why, you think you got that going on today? Why, you know better than that. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I mean, folks, war and bloodshed are going to cease. The government's going to be purified. He says that sickness and sorrow shall flee away. Come with me to Luke chapter 1. And longevity, health, and longevity, long life, going to be restored to humanity. He says in that kingdom that somebody, that if they die when they're 100 years old, they're going to be considered an infant. Health and long life is going to be restored. Health is going to be restored. You'll no longer be feeble and your eye won't dim. He's going to remove the curse from creation. And there won't be war. There won't be earthquakes and famines and hurricanes and all the rest. And he's going to remove the curse from the animal creation, and the lion and the lamb will sit down together. And Isaiah 11, he says that the knowledge of God will cover the face of the earth like the water covers the sea. That's the way it's going to be over there in the kingdom. Now that doesn't describe anything remotely possibly like what's going on today. This is the day when Satan is the god of this world. That's the day when Jesus Christ is the god of this world. And unless you don't know the real identity of who the God of heaven and earth is, unless you're willing to mistake Satan for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ for Satan, you better get this thing straight. You see, you could be deceived into worshiping the wrong God by not understanding this. Luke chapter 1, verse 30, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now there's not but one way Mary could have understood what she was told there. And that's the way that she was intended to understand it. And that is that it was a kingdom that the prophets talked about, a literal, physical, visible, earthly, Davidic kingdom that's given to the nation Israel and that goes on forever. Come with me to John chapter number 14 in one hand and Matthew chapter number 19. John chapter 14 and Matthew 19. In John 14, the Lord Jesus Christ says to his apostles, the apostles are with him in the upper room. Judas is left, and it's just the 11 are left. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He said, "I'm going to go away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you can be with me. You can reign right over there with me." All kind of ideas about that passage. People say, "Well, you know, he's off up yonder in heaven building me a mansion in the corner, a glory land, preparing me a place." Well, that's not exactly what he's talking about here. You look back at chapter number 11 of John, verse number 48, you'll see how that word place is used. He says, if we let him, the Pharisees are talking, he says, "If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away our place and nation." See, when he says, "I go to prepare a place for you," he's going to talk, saying, "I'm going to go prepare a position for you." And you know what that position is? He told those apostles, "I'm going to give you, you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall come and sit upon the throne of his glory, you'll sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." You know what their place is? He said, "It's on the throne in Jerusalem, judging Israel." And he said, "If it were not so, wouldn't I have told you?" My friend, if that isn't what God Almighty promised Israel, and that isn't what he's going to do, if that kingdom isn't a literal, physical, visible, earthly kingdom, if it wasn't so, wouldn't he have told them? Yes, he would have, and he never did. You know why he never did? Because it's a literal, physical, visible, earthly Davidic kingdom. It's not a spiritual kingdom. It's a physical, literal kingdom with Jerusalem as its center. Look at here, folks. The reason people misunderstand the nature of the kingdom is they don't understand the nature of what God's doing today. He's interrupted prophecy and is doing something different. Tune in again next time and we'll study more about it. Until then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, "The Kingdom to Come." It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 149. That's tape offer number 149. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His divided Word. And friend, if you're still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace. Thank you.